Hello and welcome to Win Spooky Prizes, the show where we ask the questions that everyone thought were too ghastly. I'm your ethereal guide, Eddie, and I'm joined today by the three scariest people I know. We have the King of the Crypt, Bear.
Hi, I live in a crypt.
The Sultan of Spooks, Pwal.
Oh, I wasn't expecting that.
And our judge of Jeepers this week, the Emperor of Emos himself, it's Jamie.
Yes, I am very spooky.
And I think you're the one who has a question for us this week, Jamie.
Oh, I do. Some of you might know that I recently moved.
Oh, yeah.
And I moved into this nice little flat, pleasant, it's got enough space and everything. Unfortunately, it's haunted.
Oh, no.
Now, as someone who has a decent breadth of knowledge of pop culture, I know what to do when you have a haunted house. I know who I'm going to call. Unfortunately, they keep letting me go to answer phone. So my question for today is, seeing as the Ghostbusters aren't picking up, who am I going to call?
How about Luigi? He deals with ghosts.
Isn't he like a giant coward?
Yeah.
He's kind of a regular-sized coward.
But he got that vacuum that do sucking up the ghosts, right? I think that's what happens to Luigi's Mansion. I've not played it.
Bold move to bring a character you haven't played the game of.
Yeah, I think the main problem is that Luigi is, you know, sort of like, he's usually captured or trapped, or his friends are captured or trapped by said ghost beforehand. I don't think it's like a service in which he's, you know, happy to be employed to do.
This is like 10 years after Luigi's Mansion, where he's like got some self-confidence.
His own van.
Yeah, his own van. And he's decided to open a ghost business.
If Luigi has self-confidence, is he still Luigi?
Oh, it's a good point.
That is the thing, right? He gets a call from me. I'm like, hey, Luigi, you gotta come deal with these ghosts. And Luigi's like, oh, I'm too scared. I'm not brave enough for this. And then Mario puts a hand on his shoulder and he goes, Luigi, the only time we can be brave is when we are scared. And Luigi comes to your house with his vacuum cleaner.
Unfortunately, it's probably got the wrong kind of plug on it.
Oh, there we go.
He's got a European plug.
Yeah.
What plug does the Mushroom Kingdom have?
I mean, you've probably... Jamie, you've not travelled in over 2 years. You've probably accidentally got a European changer plug thing lying around.
I probably do, you're right.
Adapter, that's the word I'm looking for.
There is, however, one really big issue with Luigi, and it's he's too busy dying 2 episodes ago.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no. That's even better, though. He's already a ghost.
Is Luigi canonically dead since the Smash trailer?
Luigi's chronically dead since Winston with Prizes episode 6.
Yeah.
Spoilers for the episode that came out 2 before this one. Luigi's dead.
I'm going to be honest with you. If we're going to have to keep track of how many characters end up dying in the course of these shows, we're going to end up getting some weird, wacky ones. It's going to be like, well, all we've got left is Thomas the Tank Engine, Dora the Explorer, and Blue from Blue's Clues. So
sounds pretty good.
It makes a real change to our, like, how would you stop Thanos episode. Just like, well, he's already dead, so I don't really need to deal with Thanos.
It's a good thing I picked Link in episode 1 rather than after the Smash episode.
Yeah, every Nintendo character in Smash is now canonically dead in Winstupid Prizes lore.
Other than...
Spoilers!
Waluigi's still alive because he didn't take part.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Absolute result. You want to call Waluigi instead of Luigi?
Yeah, but he doesn't have the vacuum.
Well, that actually might be the thing. Waluigi's Nick Luigi's phone and just turns up, hello!
Oh, God, no, kick this man out of my house. Just comes in, starts looking through my fridge and eating my food. And I'm like, you came in to deal with ghosts. And he's like, wow, ghosts. He stubs his face full of cheese.
I'd hang out with Waluigi.
If you paid for his services to deal with ghosts, I think you might be a bit less inclined to do so.
Yeah, fair.
You've already paid him up front before.
So I think Luigi could do the job, but you have to find a way to trick him into your house and trap him there. Like, maybe put on like a boo mask or something and stand behind him until he runs into your house.
But then I'd have to turn around every time he looked at me, right?
No, I mean, if you were a boo who doesn't get scared, then he would freak out.
That is the most terrifying ghost.
You just give him an invitation to a party, he shows up, the door's open, he comes in, the door spookily closes behind him, and then he's suddenly in Luigi's Mansion 4.
Yeah, and you just sign off the invitation from Daisy and he's there.
Ah, nice.
Sorted.
I will concede that Luigi is a big coward, but have you got anything better?
I'm pretty confident I might have had to deal with the same problem before.
Oh?
The problem is that I'm almost damn certain they mind wipe me at the same time. So, I think Agent J from the Men in Black would be the person I'd call. And I might have already done so, but I can't remember.
That's the Will Smith one, not...
Yeah.
It's not Tommy Lee Jones, it's no. Will Smith. Okay.
I'm going back to the originals. I would have called Will Smith or Agent J, James Edwards.
Just to be clear, are you calling Will Smith or are you calling Agent J?
I'm calling Agent J.
Okay, we should stop calling him Will Smith then.
I wasn't looking for the Fresh Prince to come and deal with my ghost problems.
I'm calling Will Smith in costume and in character, but actually it's still Will Smith.
I just really want to hang out with Will Smith.
The thing is, you could probably contact Will Smith. I'm not sure you could contact a man in black.
Yeah, that is probably the difficult bit about this particular problem is legitimately getting the phone number for a secret agency that if you do find out about them, immediately wipes your mind.
You do a phone call to the local police department, like, oh, there's some weird craft thing that's landed in my backyard. And then, boom, you get the Men in Black.
I guess I also don't think the Men in Black were, like, relying on local people calling their local police station.
Oh, no, they're like, they've got them bugged. I'm suggesting they're listening into the conversation at the police.
Oh, they absolutely are. People would call the police to, like, for alien bullshit, and the Men in Black would be like, all right, got on my way with the police now as well. That's absolutely bugged. You're 100% right, dude.
Well, you don't, you know, depending on how you get to them, you don't necessarily have to mind wipe them.
Yeah, fair.
It could also be a literal bug in the phone, because some aliens are like that.
Yep.
Okay, so do the Men in Black have ways of dealing with ghosts?
Well, they've got a really big armory, and I assume something in there would deal with spectral things. I take your point. Jamie might not have a flat left. Like, wherever the building was might now be leveled. But also, Jamie won't know that it happened.
Yeah, fair. Like, oh, I had a ghost problem and now I don't have a house.
Yeah, they just put you in a new house and say, you lived here all along.
I do buy the idea that a department that has the ability to deal with this range of things can cover bases that aren't exactly in their wheelhouse but are close enough.
So I'd say, because isn't that really what, like, the idea that if there was a ghost, they would probably would go, oh yeah, this must be an alien. They wouldn't assume it was paranormal.
I think you're right, but I think you were also right earlier when you said you won't have a flat anymore, because the way of dealing with it is just going to be to shoot it.
Oh, yeah.
They don't have much other options for dealing with most hostile aliens other than gun.
Yeah, the hostile one, sure.
I do like the scenario where you call up the police saying, hey, I've had some weird alien thing, trying to get them to come in. They investigate and they're just like, oh no, it's ghosts, that's someone else's problem, and leave.
I do have one important question. So the original Men in Black is the story of the induction of Agent J into Men in Black, right?
Yeah.
So is this post Men in Black 1? I know there's Men in Black 2, but at the end of Men in Black 1, there's like a post-trailer stinger where he's in like a different suit, which is like meant to be more like cool and modern rather than just the tie, and he turns up with like a female agent, like in the post-credits.
Yeah.
We've got that Will Smith, or are you going to get the one from Men in Black 2 when it's back to Men in Black 1 style?
I didn't know that there was a post-credits stinger rather than just the music video for Men in Black.
Or go for Men in Black 3J, where they have time travel.
Oh,
send him
shit
back in time to finish any business that the ghost has before they
died. I forgot that terrible film existed.
It is not good.
Oh, time travel. We love time travel.
As you learn from Who Wins the Smash, Eddie loves time travel characters.
Yeah, it's bullshit. Let's not go down this route right now.
So I think Agent J is a solid candidate if you can get hold of him. And one of the main advantages is that if the problem's resolved, you won't know there was a problem in the first place.
Yeah, that's a good one.
You have no trauma or memory. Maybe concussion.
Oh, also, they turn up in two, so I assume you get two agents.
Yeah, yeah, you get K or B or
whoever, yeah.
Do the ranking system work in letter order? What a nightmare organisation this is.
It's literally just based off their first name. It's Agent J, because his name is James Edwards. And
what if two of them have start with the letter J then? What do you call the second?
Agent J2.
It might have been a coincidence.
Outrageous.
It might have been a coincidence beyond the fact that in, like, I think it's Men in Black 1, where there's Michael Jackson for some reason on the television screen trying to become Agent M.
You're right.
And for some reason they haven't mind-wiped him, which is really weird.
I don't know if it's implied that he's an alien at that point.
Oh, right.
Which is quite a funny bit in hindsight.
I mean, like, there are a lot of throwaway gags in the background of that. Like, the entire movie is, especially when you're at the agency, is just a bunch of
back of shot gags.
Yeah.
Yeah, the first one's phenomenal for that, and the second one's still pretty good for it.
Yeah, fair enough.
Anyway, Bear, you've been surprisingly quiet.
Who are you bringing?
Well, first of all, a character who lives by the ghost and dies by the ghost. Pac-Man.
So hang on a minute, you're going to call up a...
an arcade machine from the 80s or whatever.
No, yeah, you call up an arcade machine installer, they wheel in Pac-Man. You just like have this giant tennis ball ready to go lure Pac-Man out of the machine with it.
Yeah, no, the problem is, do you have power pellet?
Pac-Man isn't only dealing with ghosts when he's got a power pellet. He's good at dealing with them all the time. It's just power pellets let him fight back.
So he's good at running away from them.
Yeah, he does kind of reverse herd them.
His whole career is achieving things with ghosts around.
Yeah, but most of the time he's just avoiding the ghosts, which is not what you want.
But the ghosts are chasing him.
Okay. Does that mean you just open the door, let Pac-Man leave, and the ghosts follow him?
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, presumably. If the ghosts are based there, then actually, you don't want him to get a power pellet then, because if he gets a power pellet, the ghost's eyes will come back to your house and respawn there. So just make sure there's no power pellets in the real world. Done. And then let Pac-Man go.
There's four weirdly coloured ghosts in my house, and as soon as Pac-Man arrives, their pathing changes to very specific algorithms about where they're trying to be in relation to Pac-Man.
Yeah, exactly.
Does that mean then either A, you're calling Pac-Man to come and die, or he has a pellet, he eats the pellet, he gets the ghost, and they go back to their home spawn, which is Jamie's flat?
Well, Pac-Man has extra lives.
It's also really funny to consider that if you get Pac-Man to lure them out of the house, and then 2 weeks later he finds a power pellet, and you just see some eyes floating all the way back into your house, like, oh no, I've got to call Pac-Man again. He's expensive.
Well, actually, you know, because as long as he's outside of your house, then even when the ghost respawns, it'll just leave to go find him.
So every few weeks, whenever he finds a power pellet, a ghost comes back as eyes, leaves again.
You just see the ghost and it leaves, yeah.
It's really funny to hear a knock on your door, open up, and just a pair of eyes just wander in.
Oh, damn, I left the window open again.
Oh, dear. You've been living in constant fear of floating eyeballs.
If Pac-Man does die as well, then he respawns near your house and just keeps going.
Well, I mean, the question is this stage the entire world, or is it just like...
Yeah, probably.
...my neighbourhood?
How far can Pac-Man go before he reappears on the other side?
I mean, the world's a globe there.
Yeah, there you go. So yeah, it's one level.
Fair enough. There is one thing I'm worried about, though. One of the Pac-Man games that I played the most was a re-release of Pac-Man, I think it was on the PlayStation 3, where it was all, like, crazy neon, and it was, like, Ultimate Pac-Man or something,
yeah.
And flashing lights, and everything got super, like, hyped and energetic, and I do not want to have to try and sleep through that.
I think that is a combination of just the future we're going to, where everything's cyberpunk neon, and the fact that Pac-Man is always on pills, so the visual effect of that is greatly increased.
Admittedly, also, that game had infinite ghosts.
So Pac-Man is also going to do a future-proofing flat regeneration for Jamie.
Just like, next time you have me on webcam, just have giant neon signs in the background.
Just RGB strips all over your room.
Yep. Like, oh, I'm on stream, we're back for elves all the way down, flashing sign.
These new hype streamers are getting more and more intense.
Yeah.
You set up an automated system where they, like, when creatures attack, it flashes their colours on your RGB lights. If someone casts a lightning bolt, it's like bzzz in the background.
Or I get electrocuted anyway.
Yeah, or you get electrocuted. That would be like a donation stream, though. You wear a little, like, shock collar.
Oh,
and people watching on the stream can donate, like, a pound to activate a lightning bolt.
Someone has already made a system for getting an electric shock when you take damage in magic. I want no part in that.
Okay, fine. I'll wear the collar and sit on the stream as an extra.
Maybe in a charity stream.
Move away from the someone on stream can pay money to get thing to happen in real life.
Speaking of people taking a lot of damage, how about Bruce Willis from The Sixth Sense? Spoilers for The Sixth Sense, by the way.
What, from, like, what is that, like, late 90s?
What is the actual character's name?
Malcolm.
Okay. I haven't seen The Sixth Sense.
Me neither, but I know what happens at the end of it. All of us have listened to The Lonely Island at some point.
All right, spoilers for it. Bruce Willis is some sort of psychiatrist or something. He's getting around with this kid that claims to be able to see dead people, and...
That would be helpful. Why didn't you ask for the kid?
Because the kid's not very good at dealing with dead people.
That's the reason why he's gone to Malcolm.
Whereas Bruce Willis, particularly very good at dealing with dead people, partly because of the whole psychiatrist background thing, but mostly because he's dead.
Yes, okay.
He is one of the dead people that the kid can see.
What?
That is the big spoiler.
Bruce Willis was dead all along?
He was dead the whole time.
So your plan is to get a ghost, bring the ghost in, the ghost happens to be a psychiatrist, and then the ghost psychiatrist can sit down with the ghost and get the ghost through its issues and then hopefully help it move on?
That's pretty much the entire plan. If I can't call a ghost, there is a backup option in Ricky Gervais's character from the movie Ghost Town, which is essentially the same premise, except Ricky Gervais is the dude that can see dead people and isn't dead himself.
And everyone else is?
There's a lot of people who are. Like, the starting half an hour is just loads of ghosts being like, he can see us. Shit, like, chasing him down, like, finding out where he lives and, like, barging into his house.
Fair enough.
And he has to set a bunch of boundaries and start solving their problems to get them to slowly go away. It's like, all right, you have to leave me alone in my house, and as part of that deal, I will solve your problems.
One of the characters of the Umbrella Academy has a similar power where they can see ghosts, but then their superpower is manifesting them into reality.
But Ricky Gervais has the power of sarcasm.
Being in a comedy does help. It brings certain rules into effect.
Yeah, the whole thing of, like, Ghost Town is all of these dead people have something that's stopping them from moving on, like, the whole unfinished business.
Ricky Gervais has the power of a lot of shitty movies.
It's not a very good movie. Sixth Sense is much better, though I have ruined it for you now.
As far as I'm aware, Sixth Sense is the good Shyamalan.
M. Night Shyamalan.
It's the good one of those, apparently.
One of the good ones. He's about 50-50, I think.
Oh, okay.
What about Avatar?
That's the bottom 50.
I think it's really going to be down to what sort of ghost you end up with. Because at the moment, we're unsure as to whether the ghost is defined by the person who you come to deal with the problem.
I think it is. I think it has to be.
If that's the case, then you just find whoever has the most mundane ghosts.
Yeah.
That's very much coming up later. I don't think there's a lot more to talk about with Bruce Willis and or Ricky Gervais. They just can see dead people and can deal with them. That's about it.
Yeah.
Also, probably could call them.
One question, though. Which one would you prefer to get?
I prefer Bruce Willis because it's a better movie.
Okay. But also, like, I get the feeling of, like, getting some catharsis is kind of a good idea.
Based on the story, I think Ricky Gervais is a better pick, but I think Bruce Willis is a better film.
So you're expecting Jerry to be like, hello, is this Malcolm Crowe? Yes, this is Malcolm Crowe.
No, this is his widow.
Oh, right.
No, this is Patrick.
Right, okay, so smoothly moving on from the sixthiest of sense, I seem to be going for institutions.
Okay.
So Men in Black, yeah.
The other sort of side that I'm looking at is very particularly the Department for the Regulation and Control of Magical Creatures Spirit Division.
Okay.
Which is the Harry Potter Universe Ministry of Magic unit that is meant for effectively the communication and rules liaison with ghosts. And that is their shtick.
They do deal with a lot of ghosts.
They deal with a lot of ghosts continuously.
Okay.
And you might think, oh, what power do they have over ghosts? Like, there are sort of like certain spells they can cast, certain things that they can have that ghosts don't like. And they clearly can do some sort of control over ghosts.
Question on that, are any of them ghosts themselves?
None of the characters are ever named or mentioned, so I have no idea what the body of this spirit division contains.
Is this like a one throwaway line in book 6 or something?
I think it's earlier on, because I think it's about...
Oh, but is it just like one throwaway line in one of the books, though?
No, because I think it's when you find out more about the character of Moni Myrtle and why she's who she is, because I think she literally haunted and followed round the person who... No, because she was killed by Tom Riddle, wasn't she?
Yeah, she also haunted and followed Harry because she was horny as hell.
Yeah.
It's like her entire character.
While being played by like a 40-year-old woman or something.
Yeah.
Point being, a ghost that you just followed around a person for their whole life, and the mirror's you're going to go, look, you have to haunt somewhere to be a ghost. Stop being a dick and just following this person around.
You're not being a ghost, you're just being a dick. Oh, okay.
I mean, like, there are so many ghosts in the school that, like, we know that they can make ghosts livable with.
Yeah, well, there are reasonable ghosts in that universe. Whether your ghost is reasonable, I don't know.
We'll find out.
One of the benefits of taking on something from the Harry Potter universe is that it's going to have no knock-on consequences for the rest of the world, because it only existed for the time that it was convenient.
Oh, classic J.K. Rowling Raz.
Careful, we're on unsteady turf here.
Oh.
So the main problem with the Ministry of Magic is that I'm damn sure they don't have a phone.
You could just send an owl.
Well, yeah, because Jamie has one of those.
I saw someone point out the other day that owls are one of nature's slowest moving birds, which makes them one of the worst choices for a postal service.
Also, they aren't that good at travelling long distance, as in there's a reason why we use pigeons.
They're not good at long distances. They're quite light birds. So they can't carry very much. They're one of the worst possible birds to pick for a postal service.
They're also one of the worst ones to train.
Good choice, JK.
I think this is a mention from Brennan Lee Mulligan. He's talking about how it's just cruel.
Oh, I think you're
right. Because they have so much magic, they can just send it messages instantly, and they choose the least suited bird to have to go and deliver it.
On the phone note, though, I do think the Ministry has at least one phone.
One phone?
The head of the Ministry is on the phone to the Prime Minister of the UK at some point. They've got a direct line, if I remember correctly, yeah.
Oh, in that case, just phone up old Bojo to deal with the ghost.
Oh, God.
Yeah, don't fucking do that. He might charge the ghost rent, so there you go.
So, I generally don't know who I'm exactly calling there. You might just meet bureaucratic nonsense.
But you do know the end result is livable, which is good.
Yes. Also, secondary benefit, likely to mind wipe you as well.
Why are you so keen on not remembering what's happened before?
But if I'm meant to live with a ghost...
If ghosts are real, I don't want to know.
Having a ghost might be a traumatic experience.
Paul's entire set of answers is, I don't want Jamie to know anything of this has happened. I want to solve his problem and everything to go back like it was.
I think that's fair.
Maybe Paul's just hoping to nick Jamie's flat by mind-wiping Jamie, and when they're like, you live in this flat, he's like, no, let me take that again. You don't live in this flat. I live in this flat.
My thing is, like, if you're making the ghost livable by, like, telling it to haunt properly or whatever, I'm okay to have a new friend. I can play magic with it.
Will they pay rent? Can they pay rent?
I don't think they can move cards.
The ghost hates magic. It's really annoying.
Oh, that'd be so gutting for you.
Like, here's a spirits deck, please.
That's a proper haunting. It's like, the ghost doesn't even like magic.
Just unsorts my collection in the middle of the night.
Oh, that's just rude. He just swaps like a couple of cards out from your deck so that like you're missing a couple of key pieces and you're like, what's going on?
Like, I'm playing modern. This isn't legal.
Why isn't the combo working? Oh, it's not in the deck anymore. When did that happen? Oh, ghosty.
Now we've become a sitcom.
All right, I'll do it. I'll be the ghost.
So Paul's going to bring in the Ministry of Magic, make it haunt my house permanently, but in a livable way, and then it's going to torment me in a comedic way for the viewer for the rest of my life.
I'm in. I'll do it.
Sounds like a win-win to me.
And then if you're the ghost, you could pay rent.
So, on the note of Bear being a ghost.
Yes.
Who else have you got?
I want to mention the psychics from Mysterium. Mysterium's a board game, and most of the players play as psychic, and one plays as a ghost. Now, the presence of a psychic doing a seance implies that the ghost is just trying to get its murder solved through a fun board game mechanism.
I mean, if we're doing that, why don't we just call in, like, Poirot to solve it?
Or Bruce Willis again.
Yeah.
Yeah, this does sound like Malcolm, brackets Bruce Willis, with extra stems.
Because this way we get to play a fun game and try and interpret the ghost's messages.
I can play a fun game when I see you anyway, Bear. I don't need to include the mild hauntings that I want to forget about.
No, but the haunting's happening. Why wouldn't we want to play a game as well?
We could also get it wrong.
Yeah, but if you get it wrong, all that means is that the murderer gets away with it.
And then I'm stuck with the ghost forever.
Hey guys, come around for some board games. Just a chill time. We're going to play Mysterium. It's a real ghost and there's a real murder. And if we get it wrong, the murderer gets away scot-free.
Yeah, let's come around and play this game. Oh, who's going to play as the ghost? Don't worry about that.
There's so many actual, like, film fiction mediums you could have chosen.
And you picked the board game one.
But you chose to get, I've got an idea. The medium needs to be us muggins.
But I mean, yeah, you choose one. Like, why pick one over another? This one because I've enjoyed it.
We solved a mystery game in literally the expected amount of time.
There you go.
Oh, yeah. So we are pretty average mystery solvers. And that was like a lot of deaths.
Yeah.
Plug for the videos that have gone up on our YouTube channel. Why don't we just get the insurance inspector from Obra Dinn?
Of course.
You would need the corpse for that.
You would. You don't get the pocket watch, though.
The insurance inspector in Obra Dinn finds out about how people died, but it doesn't involve ghosts.
You can solve their murder, therefore.
Yeah, like, I'm assuming that if you solve why they're stuck to this mortal coil, then they go, because that's kind of the general gist with ghosts, right?
That's what I'm banking on with Bruce Willis.
Yeah.
So here's the actual setup of Mysterium. The ghost doesn't pose a risk, but...
But it will kill you if you get it wrong.
So the game is on Halloween when the barrier between the spirit world and the living world are at the smallest. And this ghost has been murdered in the past. And it spent so much time wandering the astral plane that it's too weak to talk to you. It's too weak to communicate except through these visions. If you fail, you have to wait another year to try again. If you succeed, the ghost is freed and can rest in peace.
Okay.
So you will have to live with a ghost for a year if we fail.
Well, no, the ghost is trapped in the astral plane. It's bad for the ghost, but not for us.
Oh, then why do we care?
Well, because...
Yeah, then I don't have a problem.
Yeah.
Because we have a thing called empathy.
Oh, well...
Unfortunately, I do have some of that.
But then Jamie's house isn't actually being haunted by a ghost.
No, Jamie finds out his house is haunted by a ghost because it's Halloween. The psychics show up. they say, okay, we tried to solve the murder. It'll go away tomorrow anyway, but if we don't solve it, it'll come back every year.
Strange choice.
You know what? I've got a better way of circumventing the problem. Jamie sends his, oh no, I've got a ghost problem into the WhatsApp. I just respond, ghosts don't exist, Jamie. Problem solved.
Yeah, ghosts aren't the problem. Done.
But Jamie's still being haunted.
You can't just circumvent the problem by saying, oh yeah, the haunting actually isn't happening.
Lads, I've just solved global warming. It doesn't exist. Solved it. Solve the problem.
Solved it, boom.
All right, the GOP.
For next time's Win Stupid Prizes, how do you solve... No, wait, that's not a very stupid question.
That's not a stupid question. That's a really, really important question.
Yeah.
Surely we have to accept that some of the rules of what we pick apply to the real world when we pick them.
Yeah.
We know that Jamie is being haunted by a ghost.
So wait, that makes Pac-Man and Luigi win out because they were in a video game. So as long as they don't turn the video game on, it's not a problem.
No, no. You are being haunted by a ghost and we're summoning Pac-Man or Luigi, not a video game of Pac-Man or Luigi.
But you're summoning the board game Mysterium.
No, I'm summoning one of the psychics from the board game Mysterium.
But to solve it, you need all of them, right?
No, I mean, it depends how many visions it wants.
I mean, like, we've allowed for multiple people in other... We've allowed the entire Ministry of Magic Spirits Division, so...
Yeah, yeah, we could get the whole group of psychics. There are six psychics. They have names, if you look in the rule book. Let's see. Conrad McDowell.
Barry, Larry, Steve, Beyonce.
Right, real serious time, guys. I have a ghost. Who is your best option for me to call?
I think the best person to call in this particular scenario, and the thing's advantage, we know they have a phone. They are a compassionate individual that solves problems, especially stuff they don't understand.
Okay.
I think you should call the Doctor from Doctor Who.
Oh.
Which one?
Now, the main situation with this is you don't know which one you're going to get, so let's okay, go with yep. current one. So you get Jodie Whittaker.
Okay, that's the only series I haven't watched.
Yep, that's fine, because realistically, personality-wise, the Doctors generally blend into one big ball of...
Timey-wimey, wibbly-wobbly nonsense.
Exactly. So you hear a wom, 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 and you've suddenly now got a blue box. The door opens, and a multitude of people step out. You get one person who you need, which is your Time Lord, and then some friends.
A bunch of muggins who are also there to make things worse and also better.
Depending on which Doctor you get, there might be a robotic dog.
Okay.
The Doctor generally is great at solving these problems, or at least will have seen it before, got thousands of years of experience of dealing with unknown stuff.
You're just straight up better than the Men in Black in that way, probably.
Yeah, but slight disadvantage, though. If you happen before the title sequence, you might already be dead.
I'll come back to a question about the structure of an episode.
Depending on who you are in the storyline and in the series, you or one of your friends might then become a companion of the Doctor.
I was going to say, if this is episode one, am I now a companion?
Which is a version of hell.
Yeah, okay.
They have a good time for a while.
They have a good time for a while and then either have their mind wiped, they are traumatized for life, different dimensions.
Some of them die.
Many. Some of them get away, fine, and then marry the ex of a different companion or something.
A lot of them have, like, things to deal with, even if they get away with it.
Yeah.
Does the Doctor tend to go and help individual problems just because?
Yes.
Or does he tend to save it for when they're big and threatening? Like, if it's just one person he's not friends with, does he care?
Yeah, they tend to go to, like, a time zone. They're like, let's go and view this star exploding. Oh, there's a problem here, let's deal with that while we're here.
But he also has received phone calls and gone and followed them.
Usually they accidentally stumble across the problems and deal with them through compassion.
Okay.
Yeah, but there are situations where effectively the Doctor has been contacted in some form or another. So there are the angels is a classic one. He was contacted for that because of how the time sequence worked out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Also, I think Winston Churchill phoned him at some point.
I think that a kid phones him at some point as well. He does respond to phone calls when they sound important.
Yeah.
He or she now. Sorry.
Yes, point.
Yep. The Doctor does indeed have a mobile, so can be contacted.
Also, it is a phone box.
So, beyond the fact you might be brought into a version of hell, depending on whether you're before or after the title sequence main character, the other side effect problem to this is that they might just try and persuade you that this ghost actually was an alien that's been here for a long time, and they consider Earth its home as well, so why don't you just get used to it?
Yeah, actually, this is their flat, Jamie.
Oh, no. I mean, that's another friend.
Normally, the Doctor does come to some sort of peace agreement. Let's have another couple of episodes.
But it depends on what this ghost is like. It's sort of like the, oh, okay, yes, you have the wasp infestation. And they say, well, this is technically their world too. And you go, yes, but it is a wasp's nest. That's pretty lowbrow, like, pest control. Like, you call up to come and deal with a bee's nest and they just turn and be like, no, they're doing all right.
They've got a home. It's fine.
I can also see it working out as a ghost, not an alien, because the Doctor deals with both.
They're normally sci-fi explained in some way.
But it's not always...
There are ones that don't get explained.
Yeah. Like I said, it's an upgrade on Men in Black, basically, because we think they just deal with aliens, but I think Doctor Who does deal with supernatural stuff.
Speaking of Men in Black, this does let you Men in Black 3 again with the time travel. Go back in time before the ghost died, solve the ghost problem.
Oh, yes.
This is actually about time travel, not just alien, let's throw in time travel, Men in Black 3. This is actual time travel show.
Yes, the Doctor actually could just go back in time to the point which they found why they became a ghost in the first place.
Let me finish your business.
Out of the Men in Black and the Doctor Who universes, though, which is more threatening to Earth as we know it?
Oh.
Like, Men in Black, there are aliens and galaxies in the universe, and there's people that want to take over, but it's fairly normal level of it.
Yeah, but they're all, like, here. The Doctor Who universe normally shows Earth is getting on with doing Earth things, except in finale, sometimes they threaten the entire planet, but...
They're kind of similarly threatening, because they're both, like, have these weird external threats from outside of our solar system that Earth sort of ignored by, sort of protected from, sort of deals with. Like, both very similar threat levels, I would say.
Yeah, Doctor Who, just because it's a TV show, has a very broad range of threat levels. Some things are incredibly world-demanding, some of them are... It's one spaceship.
Yeah.
Yeah, some of them are quite personal issues that they turn up, they deal with. It was just in this one flat.
Yeah, but, like, the Daleks or the Cybermen take over the country at some point, don't they?
Essentially.
But normally that gets undone or whatever, or fixed.
Yeah, yeah. Does it get undone in time, though, or does it just get broken out from?
It's not done by time travel, no.
Normally the Doctor beats them or fucks them off in some way.
Yeah, so in Men in Black, I don't think we ever reach a point where we live in a dystopia, whereas in Doctor Who, for a while, we have to live under the rule of evil aliens and then eventually be freed.
You could argue that in Men in Black, we already live in a dystopia because all the aliens are technically integrated with society already.
That's not a dystopia. That's great.
Okay.
Although the Men in Black universe does imply that the universe is inside a marble somewhere or something, doesn't it?
Oh, that's at the end of Men in Black 1, they open a locker into, like, because they do the thing where there's a bunch of dudes in it living in a locker, and then they do the reverse where he opens an exit door and they're inside a locker in a bigger train station.
Yes.
And then it keeps zooming out until there's, like, the universe in a marble.
Yeah.
I don't think it's, like, a genuine thing that they're worried about. It was just, like, a funny bit to consider.
Oh, of course. That's the thing with being a comedy.
This is the nature of universes here. Like, yeah. They exist within bigger universes.
Like, it's marbles within marbles. Like, it's turtles all the way down.
So, what I have to weigh up here is percentage chance of being a companion.
Already being dead.
Well, not every episode opens with someone. Like, some episodes do have absolute zero kill count.
Yeah.
But if I'm episode one, then I end up as a companion, which is a problem.
I don't think you've got the right accent to be a companion.
I don't know.
I think you've got to be more like, oh, Doctor, what's going on?
You've got to be more working class, isn't it?
Oh, he's the Doctor. I'm Jamie.
When was that? Where have you even got that from?
I brought in, like, Bradley Walsh with, like, his real casual accent.
They do have different people from different backgrounds as the companions. You just have to be British, I think, to be a companion.
Okay, yes, the accent maybe isn't accurate, but your reaction when being surprised by something, I think you've not got enough of a, you don't play it up enough.
Okay, so I'm the secondary companion. You've got the main companion who's surprised, and then I can be the, like, the deadpan one.
Yeah.
Or I can just hide in the TARDIS.
You're the friend or partner of one of the main companions, and therefore you can be killed off at some point to create drama and tension.
Yes, or, like, lost in time or something.
Yeah. You also have to weigh up the percentage chance, and I think this is probably the biggest flaw with picking Doctor Who, in that your episode is one of the ones that are really poorly written.
Yes.
Because some of them are just really poor writing.
That's a pretty high chance.
It depends in what era.
If it solves the ghost problem, it doesn't matter.
Given that this is a new episode, it is a much higher chance than had it been one of the, like, older episodes.
But would it solve the ghost problem?
Yeah, it would just have a really cheesy ending.
It would probably solve the ghost problem in a less satisfying way, but a much cleaner and less problematic way, I expect. Yeah.
In most of the episodes where things go wrong and people are, like, eaten by a monster or killed or lost,
yep.
Do they basically always come back, or are they sometimes just... No, okay.
Sometimes they are just dead.
Okay, so there's a decent chance under those rules that you are lost to the ghost before they solve it.
Yeah.
However, because I'm the one with the ghost problem, because normally the person who's got the issue survives to the end to be grateful to the Doctor, and it'll be some random unnamed mook who's outside the house who gets zapped.
Yeah, you're actually right.
It depends who's actually calling the Doctor as well. Because it could be you disappear and then we call the doctor for that reason.
Yeah.
Or it could be that you call the doctor and you're gone by the time he arrives.
See, that sounds like old writing.
Or I call the doctor and then we do the whole blink thing where, like, he solves it in the past and I don't actually interact with him.
Yeah, maybe.
Also, every chance that this is just a side adventure that isn't in the main season, he comes up with his sonic screwdriver and is like, I can't deal with a ghost, I've got a sonic screwdriver. Good luck. And then, like, in the episode, it's just references, I remember that one dude who had a ghost that we couldn't deal with?
There's also this, like, I don't want to be in the rip-off where they got one of the old Doctor Who actors and one of the old Doctor Who companions in, but they couldn't use the term the Doctor.
What?
So they just wrote around the problem and just never called him by name.
It's a radio show. Is this not a BBC?
No, an actual straight-to-VHS at the time.
Oh.
Doctor Who rip-off using the Doctor Who actor who'd just stepped down.
Right.
Oh, so someone literally wrote fan fiction and then pays for the actual actors.
Well, no, they were trying to... They were using this as like, hey, I want to actually do official stuff. Here's my evidence for why I should be...
Oh, I think I'm good at writing it. Here it is.
Yeah. And they also... They made their company named after, like, them and some other people because their surnames were B. They made it BBV to make people think it was the British broadcast video
to try and really sell it.
It's nonsense. We do not want to end up in one of those.
No.
You know, I think, honestly, I think the Doctor, in whatever incarnation that they've chosen to turn up, we would prefer him fine.
I think you've got a decent shot with the Doctor.
If we get Tennant, we might get two Doctors.
Ideal.
Capaldi's grumpy. We could grump at each other. Matt Smith's nerdy.
I think you and Capaldi would get on excellently. Everyone watching the episode would be like, man, these two really hate each other. Afterwards, you'd be like, what a lovely chat after you both left the room.
Like, oh, that was nice. I hope he comes back sometime. I'll invite him over for tea.
Yeah.
Okay, so Paul's brought Doctor Who. That seems a pretty good option, to be honest. But who else we got?
Doctor Who?
He's done it. He's made the joke.
Well done. So, Bear, who have you got?
I have a character from a very, very fun world where I got to do a lot of things with friends and become the king for a while and all of that kind of thing.
He's bringing Isabel back.
And that was Fiora, a plane in the Magic the Gathering multiverse.
Oh, we're playing to the judge, are we?
Yeah, oh dear.
It's happened before and it did well before.
Yeah, well, no, I didn't win.
This is Kaya Ghost Assassin.
Hang on, is this an assassin that is a ghost or an assassin?
No, it's an assassin of ghosts.
Oh, dang it.
She can turn herself ghost-like to enter the ghost world so that she can stab ghosts. I first met her when she was killing my good friend King Brago, who's a really good guy.
Yeah, no, wait, no, he's not. Brago's a jerk.
Compared to Marchesa, she's a really good guy.
Hmm.
She's first seen...
stabbing Brago in the neck with a dagger.
To supplant him with... a real, real nasty piece of work.
She murders an ethereal, benevolent dictator.
Yes.
To replace just a less benevolent dictator.
Yeah, there is a backstory element they give her as well, where she comes to that plane to do a job for someone because their house is being haunted by a ghost, and she takes payment to kill ghosts.
Okay.
She really doesn't believe that ghosts belong in the real world, and she made a job out of it because she's really good at killing them.
Here's the problem. I have morals, and say we bring in Bruce Willis, and he persuades the ghost, he talks to the ghost, he's like, hey, sit down, tell me about your mother, you know, helps the ghost move on.
Yeah.
Kaya's version is shows up and stabs
Bruce Willis. Like, there's a ghost, got him.
Yes.
It's not just so simple. In the story that introduces her, she is seen laying a ghost to rest because she's hired to kill it. It turns out that the ghost was actually murdered by the son who hired her, and he was trying to cover it up. So instead, she lures the son into the house, the ghost kills the son, and then disappears on her own.
Oh, okay.
So she's morally grey.
Yes, she's like, okay, this will solve the situation, but allow her to get her revenge.
That's quite nice.
As a side question, what is Assassin Woman's going rate here? What sort of dollary dues does Jamie need to have present to even get this lady even interested?
Yeah.
So, her being money motivated is a bit of a facade, and she's actually often quite willing to help people who couldn't really afford what she would charge richer people.
Wait, she's like Robin Hooding it up.
She demands quite a bit of money that you can afford.
Right. And as one of the wealthiest people.
It really depends on what Jamie can afford, what we can afford when we call her.
I can offer her a shout out and a packet of peanuts.
Yep.
The thing about money, it matters a lot less to her now because she went to a plane where one of the guilds was run by a bunch of ghosts, and it's the one that likes debts and money. She killed all the ghosts and took over and became the guildmaster, and then she forgave a lot of the debts that she thought were unreasonable.
Huh.
Also, she became a member of the Avengers.
Yes.
Hang on a minute. I know the Avengers. I didn't see her in any of the films.
The Gatewatch, which is Magic's Avengers.
Right, I understand now.
However, her becoming a member of the Gatewatch is really important because that means we can get in touch with her because we know the spell, Call the Gatewatch.
Yeah.
And now that she's a member of the Gatewatch, we can call her.
So now your entire bit is to set up the joke, Call the Gatewatch. Got it.
It's good to be there.
So hang on. How are you calling the Gatewatch? Because you're not casting a spell called the Gatewatch, because the spell is a...
piece of cardboard.
Is a piece of cardboard.
Yeah, no, you hold the piece of cardboard.
Yeah.
Okay, let me tell you how you cast it. First of all, you put the spell, Call the Gatewatch, from your hand onto the stack.
We're not going through the casting sequence of magic.
All right, but once you've bought the rights to three planes and therefore can use enough land to ring up the Gatewatch, Gideon or whoever answers the phone, and you're like, it's Kaya there.
You got a ghost problem.
He's dead. Spoilers, he's dead.
And he's like, it's me, isn't it? Ooh!
Stepping away from the specifics of casting magic spells and so on.
Only landlords can cast magic spells in real life.
What makes me want to bring in specifically a costly assassin rather than, as we've mentioned before, people who will deal with the problem for free, even if it costs me the memory of the thing.
Because this is specifically Kaya's specialty.
Stabbing ghosts.
Unlike the Men in Black or Doctor Who, this is definitely something she's going to be able to deal with in the simplest and most effective way. Also, she's an edgy, grumpy lady who's actually got a heart of gold, so your favourite.
There we go.
Wait, does she have Chandra's number?
This is how you get to know Chandra.
Yeah, fair enough.
Side bonuses.
That's like the side bonus of becoming a companion of Doctor Who, which might not be a bonus.
We've already established that's hell.
Depends on which one you are, but yeah. So, as we've talked about with Men in Black potentially, like, sort of making some things true, does calling Kaya mean that the world is now a plane in the multiverse and are we screwed?
Yeah.
Have you just invited all of magic to us? Oh no.
Yeah. Like, she'll go to the next plane, she'll go, I met that guy in that old plane. Oh, I'll use him. Summon a 1/1 human token and I just pop into existence as an ether construct.
Oh no.
So Kaya comes to the real world. That makes our world part of the multiverse.
Yeah.
She deals with the ghost problem.
This is how the Walking Dead end up in magic.
And then a villain is like, hey, I'm going to go to that plane because they seem to have good technology. He goes there, sees people have guns. Mark Rosewater shows up and says, guns are too far, and closes our plane off from the rest of the multiverse.
Or just removes guns. Just errata's guns out of the world.
Oh no.
We've just de-armed everyone.
Yeah, it's just like, let me remove all of this plane's defenses against the oncoming threat, says Mark Rosewater, a member of this plane.
Yeah, smart. Smart man.
Turns out Mark Rosewater is actually the most powerful planeswalker on this plane.
That's how he knows how to make the cards.
-8, remove guns.
Jamie, what you've asked me is, if we open this world up to the multiverse, is a threat going to show up? Maybe. And if a threat shows up, guess who else is showing up?
The Gatewatch.
And who's a member of the Gatewatch?
Yeah, okay, you got me there.
It appears that the power of Horn seems to be the thing that brings.
Speaking of the power of Horn, I'd like to bring up Moaning Myrtle. No,
here is the problem, however. I love a lot of the magic settings, and they're great. And one of the best things about, say, my favourite magic plane, Innistrad, is that I'm not in it. I get to enjoy it, but I'm not in it. I do not want the Gatewatch showing up and going like, here's some zombies, here's some dragon, you're dead.
There's a chance that you're a planeswalker, though.
Yeah, fair.
I love that as an argument for, like, in real world. One of my favourite things about France is that I'm not there.
Not there, yeah.
Like, you don't find out that you're a planeswalker until you're under a mortal threat.
Yeah, but I don't really want to risk getting eaten by a dragon to find out if I'm a planeswalker, which is a 1 in a million shot. Like, you've seen War of the Spark, you've seen some other things where being a random citizen on a plane is just a case for you turning up in a card where you meet your gruesome demise and it has some, like, I don't know, sassy flavor text from Kaya at the bottom.
You're right, but we've also seen the Battle Bond plane, for example.
Pretty rad.
We've been there, and there's been no threat to the world or the citizens. Everything just happens in the arena. Strixhaven, there's not a lot of threat happening to normal people.
There is. The students' detention is put them in the middle of a marsh and hope they rot to death.
Well, yeah, that's because it's magic school.
Oh, so we've got the HP magic school, and we've got the magic school turning up now. Fair enough.
Yeah. Well, both in Harry Potter and in Strixhaven, presumably, the magic people go to their school and the normal people are fairly irrelevant.
Much like in most fantasy franchises.
Yeah. You use citizens to, like, randomly show threat level. There's a scene in one of the movies where, like, the Death Eaters make... Is it the Millennium Bridge? They, like, fly above and under it, and, like, people fall off and it shakes.
Oh, no, people fell off a bridge. How threatening.
Yeah, but if you end up in the Thames, you're dead, right? Because the Thames is full of awful things.
I wouldn't recommend drinking it, let's put it that way, but I think you could probably swim to the bank and be okay.
Yeah.
Get hit by a boat.
You might get hit by a boat, but, like, actually, that's a really low bridge. There's tiny boats. You can't get boats near the Millennium Bridge.
Yeah, that's an incredibly low bridge.
Look, the Death Eaters had to prove their threat by making people go for a swim when they weren't ready for it.
That's pretty threatening.
But I do feel like it is the sort of setting where random citizens will get randomly Avada Kedavra, whatever it is.
Potentially.
Yeah, abracadabra.
Yeah, abracadabra, yeah. To show threat level.
But the majority of them are fine. It's just like America, you know, randomly.
Randomly people shot.
So, yeah. Randomly people shot just to show that it happens.
Jesus.
It's like America, you can get Avada Kedavras at Walmart.
Oh dear.
Yeah, America is the wizarding world in real life.
Right.
I guess so.
You've submitted a play to the judge to bring in a cool assassin of ghosts who will just stab the problem away.
Or if there's like a slightly more moral solution to resolve the ghost's problems and that'll make it go away.
Then she'll find out that I killed the guy and that I need to die and I'm trying to cover it up. That's a
Did you kill the guy, Jamie? Did you do a murder?
No further questions, Your Honor. So, Ed, who's your third cop?
If that's the case, then I'm okay with that. If she's giving you fair justice for what you've done, then yes, call Kaya.
This ends badly for someone.
Right, Ed.
Yeah.
Who else you got for me?
All right. I pick up the phone, I make a call. Phone gets answered at the other end, and I ask the simple question, Scooby-Dooby-Doo, where are you? And hopefully, they turn up to your house and unmask the ghost and discover that it was Mr. Jenkins, the old janitor, the whole time.
What's up, Reddy?
I'm calling the mystery gang.
So you're calling a Boy Scout, a fashion model, a scientist that's choosing to go around with them, a stoner and their dog.
I think they're all students, probably. I don't remember the canon.
And sometimes their dog's kid.
Yeah, and sometimes Scrappy-Doo, too.
I am so sorry if they bring Scrappy-Doo to me.
Scrappy-Doo's great. He just wants to fight everything.
Scrappy-Doo has, at times, been a villain.
Oh, yeah. Part of the reason, I'm sorry.
Oh, fair enough.
There was some really famous actor. They wanted to do the live-action Scooby-Doo movie, and they loved Scooby-Doo, so were super excited for it, saw the script, realized Scrappy-Doo was the villain, and went, I'm not doing this if Scrappy-Doo's in it.
That actually Scrappy-Doo was just going to be a normal character, and then the director also hated Scrappy and they made Scrappy the villain and swapped it out.
I know that there was an actor who like loved Scooby-Doo but turned down the job even though they really wanted to do it because it had Scrappy-Doo in it.
Yes, and all of the promo posters had like the ghost in the background that you had seen earlier. So at the beginning of the movie, they're unveiling a ghost and there's the guy who they take the mask off. And so it seemed through all the promo materials and stuff that it was likely that he was going to be the villain coming back, and that might have been, like, story-wise a more satisfying thing. But then, you know, partway through development, relatively late, they swapped that out for just having Scrappy-Doo do it.
It did feel like it undermined the franchise to have actual monsters be the villain rather than just an unmasking.
But key point here, we're getting the cartoon, right? We're not getting the movie one.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm getting the cartoon. I'm getting the OG Mystery Gang.
Good, okay.
Isn't Movie Shaggy the one with Goku levels of power?
I don't care about that stupid meme. I just, like, it's such a waste of time.
Don't say that in front of Shaggy.
No, I'll take that bullet.
Right, okay, so you have a collection of four children.
Yeah, I'm calling up four, I don't know how they are canonically, quick, to Google.
Admittedly, I can't think of a situation where they've failed to solve the mystery.
Precisely.
So they have 100% hit rate.
Yes, they have also only ever dealt with ghosts that weren't ghosts.
What if my ghost is a ghost that's not a ghost? Who knows?
Right, okay. But then you're running the risk that it is actually a ghost and they don't do anything.
Yeah. I guess the question here is, does Ed suggesting the mystery gang mean that they turn up and it turns out to be a man in a mask, but if I don't call them, it turns out to be a real ghost?
Well, do ghosts actually exist in the Scabby-Doo? Scabby-Doo.
Scabby-Doo.
Scabby-Doo. So going back to the age thing, the mystery gang canonically do not have ages.
Oh, so they're just, like, vague in existence.
Their occupation, all of their canonical occupations, are amateur sleuth.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
How can your canonical occupation be amateur? I don't know.
Is it?
Apparently it pays the bills, though. It
also implies that you could be a professional sleuth as well.
I mean, that's just a PI, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they do all live in a van, so their living costs are quite a bit lower. They are all homeless.
Yeah.
The living costs are quite low. They just eat Scooby Snacks, which they've got a sponsorship from, so...
Seems likely.
They just get them for free. They are named after their dog.
Maybe they just named themselves after Scooby Snacks.
They'll tell them, they won't even ask for payment. But you got any Scooby Snacks lying around?
No, they ask for payment in weed.
Weed or ham sandwiches that are, like, larger than you can fit on the screen.
The weed has to happen off screen because, like, the show isn't allowed to show that, right?
Yeah,
absolutely.
That's what the Scooby Snacks are.
Mm.
They arrive at your house. They say, we heard there was a ghost here. Fred says, Daphne and I will search the bedroom.
Yep.
Velma, Scooby, and Shaggy, you search the rest of the house.
Yep. And as a fact, they break down outside just because. They're like, hey, can you help us?
Oh, I think this is the old abandoned arcade, they'll say.
Oh, what's Pac-Man doing here?
That proves it.
I am also a Scooby-Doo fan.
They run around for like half an hour, getting spooked a little bit. They set up some rudimentary trap, which all goes wrong, but it ends up getting the ghost tied up anyway. And they go, wait a minute, ghosts aren't affected by ropes. Something's wrong here. Old Man Jenkins, as they yank off the mask.
It's my landlord or something.
Your landlord, who wanted you to pay more rent. For some reason, spooking you was the way to get you to pay more rent.
I think there just has to be someone that's, like, keenly related in Jamie's life. It can't just be unmasking someone. It's like, it's an unknown person.
Oh, yeah, it would be someone relevant. Yeah. It would be someone who's either, like, wanted the building to appear haunted for some reason, or the previous tenant who felt wronged and was trying to scare Jamie out. Something like that. We don't know, because we haven't unmasked the ghost yet. Jamie's not hired me to call the mystery yet.
Right, okay,
we've had mail from the previous tenant, so you could set it up in the early parts of the episode where the mystery gang find the envelopes of mail from the previous tenant to get the name.
Yeah.
And then it sets up the reveal later.
Very important to note that you only interact with one other person during this episode, so they have to be the villain.
Yes. Also, we get to have one of those scenes where, like, in the corridor, they run into doors, get chased by a ghost, come out a different door, you know, even though it makes no sense in my corridor.
Yep, then they're chasing the ghost, then they run into each other and both run the opposite directions.
Yeah.
What a great scene. Absolute classic.
Yeah, classic scene, and it makes no physical sense here, but it will still happen.
I've done a Google, and ghosts are real in Scooby-Doo. They just often don't get to deal with them. So in all of the movies, there are real monsters, but there is a series, The 13 Ghosts of Scooby-Doo, which is still an older animated series, and all of those are real ghosts.
Okay.
And they solve the mysteries and deal with them.
Yeah. Do they ever fail? I don't think so.
Let's take a quick break and watch the whole of this season of Scooby-Doo.
Right, we're back. They didn't fail.
We're back. They all got killed by ghosts.
Oh god, that was a really dark.
On the note previously of playing to the judge and using the power of Horn, I had a crush on Velma as a kid.
Oh.
So that works in your favour.
Horn Mark 2.
You might be able to get hold of Chandra eventually, but I'm bringing Velma right to the door.
And Velma is more like a real person.
Weirdly, all of the characters apart from the dog are based on real people.
No, I'm saying, like, just like a nerd in the real world, rather than a person gallivanting between the planes of existence.
Here's something I've just learned. If Scooby-Doo is brought into this universe, then the zone of eternal evil exists.
What is the zone of eternal evil, my dude?
I don't know, a ghost.
Also, if Scooby-Doo's brought into this universe, the Superman's real. There's an episode of the Justice League where the mystery gang work alongside, like, Superman and Batman and stuff.
Brilliant, I brought the Justice League in by accident.
You brought the entire DC universe in, yeah.
A warlock goes to the zone of eternal evil and is captured by one of the ghosts there.
Well, so just don't go there, easy.
Yeah, let's just not go there. That's probably somewhere in the States anyway.
Well, it might just mean that ghosts constantly come out of there.
Yeah, but we've got the mystery gang, so don't worry about it.
But apparently we've also got Superman, so...
Yeah, I think if we counted every crossover, then we'd have a right field day with magic and Doctor Who.
Yeah.
Here's a question. If we bring the magic multiverse and the Scooby-Doo mystery gang into reality, how do they interact?
Badly.
It's called Universes Beyond.
Oh, no.
Right. Now that everyone's given me their final answers, it's time to work out who's what. Wait a second. Everything's shaking. It's a shame this is an audio medium and you can't see all the cool visual effects in my flat. What's that outside? Oh, no. It's the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. How do your guys deal with him? So, Doctor Who?
Yeah?
Giant Stay Puft Marshmallow Man.
Oh, no.
How many big threats? The Doctor's dealt with a few big threats.
The Statue of Liberty turned out to be a weeping angel in one episode. What a stupid premise that was.
Didn't deal with it, though.
That was quite weird. But there's definitely been, like, a big robot, I'm sure.
He's fought the literal devil.
Has fought a devil, at least.
I think it was implied that it was the devil.
Was it? Okay, just on a random planet somewhere.
Basically, yeah.
Uh-oh.
That's how Doctor Who works. It can reference things from outside of the sci-fi setting and just have them exist.
So I suspect it will be in classic Doctor Who style. We'll get to the end of the episode and he'll pull something out of his arse, which has never been done before.
That's where I stored my sonic screwdriver.
And the problem will be solved. It'll be Ex Machina, bloody, bloody, blah. They'll use lightning on this special date combined with the fact that time is having a flux and, I don't know, Captain Jack turns up and rigs something up as well.
Does my neighbourhood end up covered in marshmallow goo?
Almost certainly.
What an idea of just throwing Captain Jack here. You're a mortal, fight this thing until it dies.
Okay, so you're using the power of plot.
Yes.
Okay, the power of plot. What about Kaya? Has Kaya ever fought a ginormous Stay Puft Marshmallow Man? TM. I should have said TM earlier.
So, the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man is actually a bad matchup for Kaya because it's not actually a ghost. It's an incarnation of an extra-dimensional god-tier demon creature.
Of, like, Sumerian mythology or something.
Well, it used to exist in the real world and they worshipped it, so it wasn't mythology.
Hmm. Well, sorry, but I mean, the writers pulled the name from Sumerian mythology, I think, yes.
Yes, it's Gozer. Yeah. So Gozer asks the Ghostbusters what they want their form of ultimate destruction to be, and they try and pick something harmless.
They actually try and think of nothing, and
one of them,
Marshmallow, just pops into his head.
Yes.
He just popped in there.
So, Kaya, I don't think, would have a good time fighting this extra-dimensional, super-powerful being on her own. Luckily, she's part of a club of people who fight super-powerful, extra-dimensional beings on the reg.
Should have picked that club as your answer then, rather than one.
I think she calls the Gatewatch.
Which she can do.
The Gatewatch fight the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man.
You lose a bit of the city while they get there.
Yeah, the problem with this is it's disappointing because we've seen them beat interdimensional beings and it was kind of a letdown.
Well, it was, yes, we need to be more powerful. Okay, let's do it.
Yeah.
The power of anime?
Yeah.
I think the fact that it is so immune to our normal weaponry. In Ghostbusters, they only defeat it by crossing the streams. Like, military-level weaponry doesn't work. Setting on fire just makes it more dangerous. But it's the crossing the streams that explode it.
Yeah.
So I think upon seeing that all those normal attacks fail, she would do the right thing and call the Gatewatch.
Fair enough. And I would probably die in the process.
If the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man is at your house, yeah. Although, do people die from it? Or do they just get gooed?
Maybe a few people get crushed.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think it's really, like, explained.
It might not be showed much, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, at the time, they're on, like, a roof, right? So...
Is it a PG?
I don't know. It's got some, like...
There is definitely swearing and sexual references.
Yeah.
There's definitely inappropriate hitting on women, but... Yes, that's...
Yeah, but it might be PG for the time. Like, ratings have got stricter since then.
Mm. Yes.
Yeah, it was PG-13.
Okay, so that's like 12A equivalent.
I thought it would be higher than that, but fair enough.
God, 97% on Rotten Tomatoes. Where you
going? It's a good movie. So, we've got two people / groups of people who could almost certainly handle the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man, but what are the Mystery Gang going to do about it?
You made your mistake when you said the word marshmallow. You're like, oh no, there's the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. How are we going to deal with this gang? You turn. You see Fred, Daphne, Velma, and the clouds of dust where Shaggy and Scooby used to be as they moved at cartoon speeds to go and eat that marshmallow. And you turn back to the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man, and there are just one full boy and a dog that have eaten the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man.
The power of munchies. Mm.
The one time they are not afraid is when food is involved.
But... as we know, you are what you eat, so does that mean there are two Stay Puft Marshmallow Men now?
Are they trying to eat each other, staking its own tail? I don't know what goes on there.
We've managed to destroy an extra-dimensional being by just eating it.
By being made out of marshmallow.
Yep.
Your first mistake.
I think the real answer, they're Americans, so you need to give them a ton of chocolate and a ton of graham crackers, and then they'll go make s'mores. They'll shuffle all of the different graham crackers and chocolate together, throw them, it'll slice up the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man into perfectly ready-to-cook s'mores.
Yeah, instead of the ham sandwich that's loads of layers, you've got a s'more that's loads of layers, yeah?
Yeah.
And they'll just eat that whole thing in, like, one bite.
And then Shaggy's like, oh, I've just made this giant s'more sandwich, and Scooby eats it in one bite, and Shaggy's left hungry.
Yep. So it turns out everyone can handle a giant monster made of marshmallow. That's surprising. I thought that one was going to be a bit tough. Seems the problem's cleared up.
I thought, oh man, Kaya's just not going to be able to deal with this, and then...
Yeah, you're going to lose some of the city as the Gatewatch turns up.
I mean, everyone's going to lose some of the city before stuff happens.
Scooby and Shaggy, when food is involved, fastest men alive.
Oh yeah.
You wouldn't lose a single drop of the city.
Yeah, the Doctor Who one genuinely ends up with the neighbourhood covered in marshmallow goo.
Yes, almost certainly.
And the mystery gang ends up with not a single trace being left. Actually, no, there's like a little fleck of it on one.
All over their face, yeah. It's all over their faces.
Yeah. They get to do the tongue thing and lick all their faces.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I've considered all the options I've been put out in front of me. You've all handled the third act twist extremely well. No one saw that one coming, unless they saw the original Ghostbusters. Wait, spoilers for the original Ghostbusters. That was from that, if you didn't get that.
This whole episode is spoilers. God damn.
So, turns out one of you played the field almost perfectly by calling out to my love of certain things, playing to the judge, shall we say. And the winner is the mystery gang.
Scooby dooby doo, where are you? We got a copyright strike now.
In the end, I get to watch two guys consume a giant pile of marshmallows while hanging out with Velma. What could be better?
What could possibly be better? What do I win, Jamie?
So your prize today, Eddie,
ooh,
is an empty pay-as-you-go SIM card so you can ghost your friends.
Beautiful. Brilliant.
That must have cost a lot to get.
Now I've got to deal with the ghost. Oh, no. Oh, thank you very much. Thanks for listening, everyone. If you like this episode, maybe share it with a friend or two. Word of mouth like really is the best way for a lot of podcasts of this size to get around. So please share this with anyone that you think would like it as much as you did. If you want to check out our other stuff, our website is hexagorgon.com. That's hexagorgon.com. We're at Hexagorgon on Twitter. We're Hexagorgon FB on Facebook. We're Hexagorgon Live on Twitch. And we're Hexagorgon on YouTube. And we've also got a Ko-Fi now, which is also Hexagorgon. Check them all out. There's a bunch of great stuff going on there. We're streaming every week. We're constantly making new content. Check it out. And thank you very much, guys, for getting toasted by my mystery gang.
It's been a pleasure. And I'm just glad my problem's been solved, to be honest.
This has been Win Spooky Prizes. Whoa. Ooh. See you next time.
I'm going to go have a Scooby snack. Velma loses her glasses and Jamie just keeps moving them around, so she just spends the whole time crawling around.
For God's sake.